Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Film on the Rocks is back, baby. Film on the Rocks has been Colorado's essential summer event for over 20 years. They feature live performances and movies under the stars at the iconic Red Rocks Park and Amphitheater. The summer series combines some of the best in culture, views, and cult classics. It's a movie experience like no other. These viewings fill up fast, so make sure you get your tickets ASAP. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. I'm your host, Rudo, joined as always by AJ Hafley, as we are officially in August now.
Best month.
Best month?
Yeah, I know everybody else hates it, but I love August.
All right, well, AJ can love August. Certainly for the NHL, it's not the most exciting month most of the time. Usually not a whole lot going on around the league. However, I think I feel pretty safe in saying I don't think the Avalanche are done with their offseason yet. There may not be any more major moves, but I think there's still something to come. AJ, are you in agreement there?
Yeah, I mean, I still think that there's a Val Nichushkin late off season, cheap 1 year deal for somebody, right? Like, yep. we saw some of the guys that we had an interest in go off the board over the weekend. Nick Ritchie, Andre Kasha, both end up in Toronto. Weird to me that all these guys are so attracted to going to Toronto to give it a whirl, and it like consistently just does not work up there. But
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of factors that go into that one, but
yeah, I mean, the players obviously love playing there and they love the city and they want to be there, but it's interesting that it's like so many guys cycle through and they're like, oh my God, this was my dream. And then it doesn't go well. And it's like, was that the best thing for your career?
Yeah. I mean, definitely tough, right? It's
yeah.
To go to hockey Mecca, but then you have the counterpoint of like the news cycle there and the media there. It's just very overbearing. I'll put it that way.
It's a tough environment. Definitely tough environment. I think the maybe the big factor in this offseason, like to be determined still, is the New York Islanders.
They have continued to do nothing.
Like, there's a bunch of dudes that are connected to them,
but nothing's done on them.
But it's like not a word has come out. Yeah. And it's also weird to me that like media people are like, this is what makes Lou so great.
That his players might just walk.
Well, and it's like this is it. Like this is the thing that makes Lou great.
To be clear, on the Islanders, they have three RFAs still to sign, all of them pretty relevant: Beauvillier, Pelech, and Sorokin. And then they're also obviously still tied to Cizikas and supposedly still tied to Palmieri as well.
Yep. So we'll see. The Islanders are old. Not really. They have one. They have one defenseman over the age of 30 in Andy Green, and then they're.
I guess he's way over the age of 30, but.
Yeah, and like Varley's 33, but is about to lose his job there, and then I guess the depth guys are up there, you know.
Yeah, I guess their forward core isn't young, but it's not like ancient either.
Yeah, like it's not like the stars here.
And like they have Beauvillier, they have Barzal, they have Wallstrom.
Yeah.
Like they have some young dudes in there too.
Yeah. They have a decent mix. Anyway. Yeah. I just thought that was an odd comment where it was just like, huh.
Point being, I think particularly for the Avs, you look at someone like Casey Cizikas, and all of a sudden if he's on the UFA market, you're calling that dude's agent, right?
Wait. Is Vegas adding Eichel, or is this dude just talking? Because I missed a whole weekend worth of stuff.
Yeah, no, man, no shot. Never trust the chat.
Okay. I mean, I'm. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
I mean, anything's possible, but I'm not seeing it in my feed at this moment.
Anything is possible. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to add Eichel now.
Yeah.
They went out and like they did a good job clearing money with Fleury, but now they have to clear way more money.
Unless they're somehow trying to flip that Dadonov contract, like
yeah. Well, the Tuck injury isn't going to be long enough.
Yeah, no, he'll be back midseason. They can't like Kucherov him.
Yeah, we'll see about Eichel, but I mean. Vegas would have to move out some serious cash to do it.
Yeah. If it wasn't for Tuck's injury, they're over the cap right now.
Yeah.
Like, even with Tuck, if Tuck missed the whole season, they'd have trouble fitting
up. And even then, the idea that the window is closed because Jack Eichel would go to Vegas, like, okay, so there's one team.
Yeah.
And the likeliest path for those two teams to see each other is the conference finals.
Yep.
Which so
also, Eichel's going to be out until like February with whatever surgery he's getting.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever's going to happen there.
Yeah, there's so many question marks.
Yeah, that's a whole other. What happens with Eichel and the surgery that he wants and what does he do? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. In any case.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you read on the Eichel.
Yeah. Well, and the idea that the window is shut is insane. Like there are some teams that had short windows, right? Like we saw with the Jets that was one run. We saw with Nashville, that was one run, basically.
Yep.
Because Nashville just got worse every year after that. So, I don't know.
Look. You never know until they play the games for sure, but...
Yeah, I mean, Colorado's run could be completely over. It's true.
The Avs have kept their core together outside of a change in goal, which
right. The big thing that the Avs that make the Avs different is that they don't have any like high leverage free agents that they're likely to lose.
Yep.
Like Winnipeg was in a tough spot because Tyler Myers and Jacob Trouba didn't want to be there.
Yep.
You know, so it was like, okay, well let's see. You know, Dustin Byfuglien retired. Like they got cleaned out. Nashville, I don't understand how that happened. They should have continued to be good, and then they just stopped. Colorado's best players, their best three defensemen are 22, 23, and 27, and Bowen Byram is 20.
Yep.
Like, that defense is going to be there for a while. Goaltender remains a major question mark long term. But at forward, your two best are 24 and 25 years old.
Well, yeah, it's...
And they happen to also be two of the very best at their respective positions.
Your top three defense are here indefinitely. McKinnon, yes, only has 2 years left, but Rantanen and Landeskog are here indefinitely.
Right, but I mean, even if you're one of the doomsday people where it's like, oh, if McKinnon doesn't... If the Avs don't get out of the second round last year, McKinnon's going to walk. Because he's going to be sick of losing. So, like, Nathan McKinnon had an entire first half of his career that was defined by losing.
Yeah.
I think it's a little different world if you lose in the second round. But that's just my perspective. I guess it could be, you could ask him. But even if you were the doomsday people that he's going to leave, you have 2 years.
Yep.
It's not like they're going to trade Nathan McKinnon. So you have 2 years.
There's certainly plenty of work to do next offseason. The Avs have a bunch of UFAs, but which,
yeah,
look, maybe it will be they could be working on that right now for all we know, but
it could be a big opportunity for them to remake themselves and fill some holes if they feel the need.
Yep.
It could be, look, but best case scenario, I think everything with Darcy Kuemper goes great. You bring him back. You bring back Andre Burakovsky. You try and bring back Val Nichushkin, but I think Val Nichushkin's going to probably price himself out.
Someone third liners with high, very good metrics love to get overpaid in this league.
Yeah, straight up, man. Like, that's a guy that you can totally see that guy having like a fluky, like 18 goal season this year and go out into the open market and somebody give him like $4 or $5 million a year
and regret that contract immediately.
Yeah. And be like, oh boy. So yeah. Anyway, the Avs next year are, they have a lot of cap space to play with. They have a lot of UFAs to deal with, a lot of big decisions to make. So.
Yep. No doubt about it.
Next year's problem.
Not the topic of today's show. The main topic of today's show is what's left in this year's UFA.
Or this year's problems.
Market, I suppose. I mean, let's start there. What is the biggest name out there that has a realistic chance of actually happening? Because obviously names like Tarasenko have been swirling in trades, not to the Avalanche, but...
I think... Without knowing about the trade, I mean, we assume Tarasenko and Jack Eichel aren't Colorado.
Right.
Bound.
Certainly, they don't seem relevant to the Avalanche. Put it
that Yeah. way. So, really, trade market-wise, I don't really know. But, I guess it's Jonathan Duran might be it. But the Avs can't pay for that. Montreal would have to...
Take on some cap.
Yeah, they would have to eat that, a lot of that contract, as much as they're allowed.
They basically can't do that.
Are they also, I mean, they should be about capped out.
They are thinking over the cap, and they still have to sign Kotkaniemi, which okay. They Weber on injured reserve will get them to where they need to be, but
yeah,
they have no interest in retaining on Drouin, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, well, and Paul Byron also is going to miss a
long time. Yeah, that's true. He's missing like 6 months.
Yeah. That's surgery will help. clean out that space. Anyway, point is that they would have to eat at least up the max 50% of Durant.
2.25.
And to be honest, for it to make sense for Colorado, they might even have to do more than that. They might have to send it through Buffalo or Ottawa to wash some cap space.
Yeah.
So, like, they send it to Ottawa for 50% retention, and then Ottawa retains 50% from there. And
all of a sudden, you end up with Druin on less than a $2 million contract. Yeah.
you end up with a really cheap Jonathan Durant for 2 years, where you're like, okay, well, as he works through his problems, this became an opportunity that made sense.
Yep.
The big problem there would be that analytically, big yikes there for Duran. Really, an entire career of really poor underlying numbers.
Gigantic, gleaming, flashing sign that says passenger over that guy's head.
Yeah. Yeah. Power play specialist, Jonathan Duran. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think between that guy and maybe a Christian Dvorak, maybe a Jake DeBrusk, like those could be guys that have been in the market that just haven't moved. But you would have thought that if they were going to move, it would have happened already.
Yeah. Again, this is August, right? Those rumors tend to die down through August, and then they maybe pick up around the start of the season again. But it's a tough trade market in August, we'll put it that way. If you didn't get it done at the draft, if you didn't get it done at the opening of free agency.
Yeah.
A lot of teams like to wait it out a little bit.
Well, I mean, most of the teams have done their business.
That's also true. Yeah.
Like there are 7 teams that are technically over the cap right now.
Yep.
And then from there, there's another 6 that are within $5 million.
Now, to be fair, there's a couple that are still under the cap.
Yeah.
As well, but that is a completely different world than the one the Avs are living in.
So. Right. And that's 3 rebuilding teams, Detroit, yep. Buffalo, and Ottawa. Like those are teams that are like, we don't really need to spend any money.
How is Ottawa currently projected cap space only $51 million right now?
Go look at their roster. Like they need Thomas Chabot's $8 million to prop them up.
That's wild, man.
Yeah. They need Matt Murray's super contract there.
They have to spend $8 million more to get to the floor.
Yeah, well, they've got Brady Kachuk's RFA deal, so that will happen.
I'm sure they'll get there, but it's just
this whole Gerard is too small thing. Las Vegas proved that is nonsense. Like Gerard had a tough series.
We gotta just stop talking about this. We've made it very clear that that's just not true.
I just don't understand how Vegas exposed Sam Gerard, but it's also like Ryan Graves and Patrick Nemeth were the ones that
were just a disaster in that.
Yeah, game. they got absolutely destroyed.
In games 3 and 4, the Avs' top line completely disappeared. In game 6, Grubauer just was awful. Like, there's so many problems in that series.
It's like there were, yeah, it was death by 1,000 paper cuts, and it's weird that Sam Gerard is taking, like, Sam Gerard is to blame for that series. Like, what? Anyway, Sam Gerard damn near broke even in underlying numbers, despite everybody universally agreeing.
Meanwhile,
that he needed to be better.
While Tyson Jost is getting caved on the second line, but
right, like Tyson Jost throws up a 38%.
Yep,
and people are like, "Well, he really, really played great there." Tyson Jost had a great season. Like,
all right,
it's just.
If I have to keep talking about Sam Gerard being an issue, I'm going to have to drink. So we're brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNBR. You can get it down at the DNBR bar or get it online. Use their Breck Beer Locator. Find your local liquor store that has it. Go get it, especially if they have their Good Company seltzers because they're flying off the shelves. I know I had at least one person DM me if AJ needed some help finding some to bring it up to Canada, but
Did you see the picture Z posted on Twitter yesterday?
I did not. Was it a whole haul?
Yeah. I did not need help.
Okay, he found plenty.
Yeah.
Do you have to? Do you have to go through Canadian customs to get that much alcohol in the country, or what?
Yep.
All right. Also, use Green Mountain Dental Group, because when you drink that much hard seltzer, it might rot your teeth a little bit. So jump on it. It's 15 minutes from downtown Denver, the best family dentist in the Denver metro area. When you get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them, you get a free Sonicare toothbrush as well. So get your teeth clean. Get them looking nice. They're great. There have not been many dentists in my life that I've gone to that have been like a good experience. So the fact that I can say that about Green Mountain Dental, it helps. Also, you know, consider throwing a couple bucks our way, whether that be a super chat or signing up for an annual DNBR membership. Kale will know this. Is our football deal still going on right now?
I believe so.
So there you go. Use Camp 21, is it? Or is it Camp
2020? Camp 2021.
There you go. Camp 2021. It's like you literally get a gift card to the DNBR locker for the price of the membership. So however you look at it, it's either like you get a year membership to buy a couple of shirts, or if you get a year membership, you get that value in DNVR locker gear. So there's no reason not to right now. Jump on it, get the value, get some sweet shirts. Don't buy Broncos shirts, buy Av shirts like Big Moose, like the Four Norsemen. Be cool. Buy the
three-headed Broncos. Monsters locked in, baby.
There you go. Easy lockdown right there. You can get it and have it forever, basically. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Rudo, I have a question.
Hit me.
Do you know who Gerard matched up against in the Vegas series most often?
I would guess that it was their top line, but I don't know for sure.
Which one was their top line, though?
Oh, boy. I guess Patches, probably, with Stevenson. Well, yeah, because Patches played wing. It was weird. Stevenson and who ended up on the other side of that? I don't know.
Hold on. This is just my own curiosity.
Yeah, this is a total guess for me as well, but.
Yeah. Game six, which one would you say is the top line?
I don't know, dude. They ran Stevenson as their top center for most of the series.
But. Yeah. Yeah, between Stone and Pacioretty.
Okay, it was
Stone and Pacioretty. So Gerard, just for the record, in game six.
Sure.
Game six, Gerard's top assignment was Theodore Carlson and Marchessault.
Okay, so second line, essentially.
Yeah, and just for the record, this is just what happened. Put up, where is his expected goals? Against those guys, put up a 73% expected goals. Directly head-to-head against them.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And then broke even against the other lines except for the fourth line, which chewed them up.
All right, fair enough.
I just think it's just interesting.
Yeah, I'll let that one lie for the moment. But we talked about the trades, AJ. Let's get into it. Obviously, on the forward side, at least, the name on everyone's mind is Tomáš Tatar.
Yeah.
How, as this drags on, does this get more or less realistic for the Avs that he could be an option?
Well, they've got somewhere in the area of $4 million to play with. We don't know what kind of offers he has. Yeah, we don't know what kind of offers he has out there. So that's, you know, without knowing that, that's tough. Oh, look at that. I'm just revisiting some of these horrors.
Yeah, all of the rough numbers right now.
No, they're really. I'm looking at games 5 and 6, and Gerard won both of them.
Yeah, again, Gerard was far from the problem.
Yeah, I mean, we all agree he needed to be better, although the Carlson line beat Gerard up a little bit in game five.
I mean,
but
his start of the series was worse, if I recall correctly, but...
Anyway, I'm just kind of just flipping through out of curiosity, because I don't think I did this after the series was over. So anyway, Tatar. So the longer it goes on, like, we don't know what kind of offers he has. You remember Mike Hoffman last year basically had to sign the token PTO so that the Blues could get through the cap.
Sign the actual deal after
things. Yeah, after the season had started.
Yep.
He signed the 1 year, $5 million deal to help them get through some cap games. Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. It would have been I don't know the likelihood of that happening. Tatar's regular season, his underlings, all of that stuff is really good. It's absolutely going to be problematic for teams in the league that there have been problems in the postseason.
Yep.
Like, when he was in Vegas, it was a total disaster. And then this last year, he got scratched as they were going to the Cup finals. And it's
and justifiably so, too. This is a dude who, in his regular season career, is well over half a point per game player.
Yeah, and then in the postseason is like a...
He has 12 points in 40 postseason games. Yeah. Like, it's a significant difference from his regular season play.
Yeah, it's a major drop-off, and I think it's a fair concern. I mean, you can't just ignore that. So, I'm not sure how that is affecting his market right now. I'm not sure what he wants. For Colorado, I don't think that there's like a desperate need for another forward. I think the need on defense is bigger.
We're going to get there. Yeah.
But like, you look at their forward core right now, you have the top line. Really the biggest hole that you have is Brandon Saad's departure on the second line,
which we talked about, we're dropping Newhook into that spot, right?
Yeah. I'm penciling Newhook into that spot. Whether he stays there, I don't know. We'll see. You know, whether he even starts there, whatever. And then Compher takes Donskoy's spot on the third line. The only problem there is that Compher and Jost have consistently not worked well together over the years. And you don't want to break up Jost and Nichushkin because they were so good together.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what to do there.
I almost wonder if they don't fire off Maltsev with that third line, but
yeah, I mean, well, we don't know what to expect with Maltsev. He's gonna get dropped into the lineup somewhere.
Yeah,
and then pre-Timmins trade, McDermott was also gonna be part of this forward core. Post-Timmins trade, and barring another move, I think he's back
to being a D. Yeah,
I think he's probably back on defense. But we'll see how he gets used as well. But like, between, you know, Darren Helm will definitely be on the fourth line, and Logan O'Connor will definitely be on the fourth line.
Yeah.
Those and then
basically surefire locks.
Yeah. And then after that, we'll see between, we went through this list last week.
Yep. You can go watch our show fleshing out the Avs roster last week if you want to check that out. In any case, before we get to the defensemen, just a couple other names that are still out there that I can't imagine the Avs have too much interest in outside of Casey Cizikas, which we've talked about before as well. If he doesn't end up staying in New York, could be an option for the Avs. But beyond that, Zach Parise.
Yeah. Well, and most people assume that Parise is part of whatever the hell the Islanders are up to.
Yeah, that's true. He's been tied to them a lot. You have guys like Zajac, James Neal, Tyler Bozak, a bunch of dudes well into their 30s that probably aren't a ton of interesting to the Avs. I guess Marcus Johansson is there.
Yeah, I always liked Mojo, but I think what happened in Minnesota is like, okay.
It's over.
Yeah, it's probably done for him. And yep. Like the versatility was a big part of his intrigue.
Yeah.
But I don't like, could he replace, you know, at $1 million, $2 million, if they try to get him to replace Donskoy, I'd be open to the idea. I'm a little surprised that Tyler Bozak isn't more of a fascination for them. Given like his long history playing center as like a depth center.
Sure,
you get kind of guarding he would guard against Tyson Jost not being able to repeat last year, because right now Tyson Jost is kind of on an island where they need him to be the guy that he was in the second half of the season. And because if he repeats the first half of the season where he scores 2 points or whatever, then the Avs have a big center problem. And so I'm kind of surprised that Bozak isn't a louder talking point for them, assuming he wants to continue playing.
Yeah,
because Darren Helm can play any spot on a fourth line, and Bozak would, you know, you tell Bozak, be like, hey, we want you to be the 4C. If
things go south, you can be a 3C.
Yeah, you can guard against the. He's a guy that's played on a penalty kill his whole career, like. He's 35 years, like he's got all those things that teams typically really, really like.
Cup winner.
So it would be one of those like that. I would prefer for them to go to give all of these younger guys a shot, but I'm. It would not surprise me if they were like, well, we're just gonna do this.
But you know how NHL teams operate, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like he sticks out on that list for the same reason that Jason Demers sticks out on the defense list.
Yep.
Where it's like, well, you know, a guy at the end of the line here, gonna play for cheap, that fits our price tag.
Been there, done it before, not planning on playing him
right.
Too many minutes anyway.
can bring a number of elements, blah, 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 blah. So I think that's a name that, until he either goes off the board or retires, that's a name I would keep an eye on.
Yeah, man, there really isn't a ton outside of that. I guess unqualified Ryan Donato, maybe.
Yeah, and I like Donato, but again, like you're taking a chance on Ryan Donato to go and do something. And
yeah,
it wasn't like he had a bad year in San Jose. Like, he put up like what, 20 points?
Yep.
And I'm just a little surprised he's unqualified and unsigned. Like, this was a guy that was pretty highly sought after not that long ago. And he's been moved twice.
Yeah, it's...
Like, Boston signed him after a huge final year in college.
Yep.
And then traded him to Minnesota, who traded him to San Jose. And, like... The to Minnesota, that was the Charlie Coyle deal, so he was like the big prospect there. That was the whole point of that deal. And then he got dealt for just a third rounder, and now he's not even qualified. It's
a wild downhill turn there, yeah.
It will, and while this is happening, he's still producing in the NHL.
Yep.
Like, this isn't like a guy that just totally collapsed. Now, I'll say I'm unfamiliar with what his underlying numbers look like. So that might be problematic for some people. But I...
Points still, though, man.
Without, you know, without knowing, like, as a... Okay, so... The analytics are okay. They're not bad enough for me to be like... They're not bad enough for me to understand why he's still not signed.
Sure.
So that's a guy that I think I would prefer... for them to give a look to. Well, he did have a pretty big negative effect on driving play last year.
Here we go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
In any case, before we get too deep on Donato, one last forward I want to get to before we get into the meat and potatoes of the defenseman. Chucky, any thought? little bit of a pesty guy, people who like a little bit of that grit. Any interest in bringing him in?
No.
Not at all. Put up decent numbers in Toronto.
I'm good.
All right. Just throwing it out there.
I'll pass. I know some people talk about like PTO and all that. No, I'm good.
All right. I'll just to throw the name out there.
Yeah, that for me. No. Don't need to continue that.
All right. Well, I talked about getting to the meat and potatoes. So how about Hassel Cattle Company? We brought you rather damn good beer. Now we're bringing you damn good beef, if I can get there at the end of the day. Hassel's giving you 10% off when you use code DNBR10. Jump on it. Head on over to HASSELLCattleCompany.com. Use that code. Get yourself, whether it be their amazing Wagyu, their blue-collar Wagyu. They got bone-in ribeyes. They got tomahawk steaks. They got pretty much everything under the sun that you can imagine when it comes to meat, and it's all amazing stuff. Can't recommend their stuff enough. Their burger down at the bar gets rave reviews anytime I talk to anybody about it, so be sure to check that out as well when you come on down.
Never had negative feedback on it.
Yeah, no, not once.
Nobody's ever been like, oh, you guys overhyped this burger.
Yeah, I've never been told that. The only thing I get told about the burger is you undersold it, and I've sold it pretty hard. So I feel like it lives up to the hype. We'll put it that way. Be sure to check that out. And if you're doing a big order, $200 or more gets you free shipping just to boot as well. Then hit up Strava Craft Coffee and get 25% off your first order when you use code DNBR25. Plus, you can get 20% off for life when you use their subscription service. Another product you can try down at the bar. Cold brew Strava on tap, down at the bar. Go get it. Give it a try. When you love it, you can order more because that's how Strava Craft Coffee works. And then you can drive a couple blocks next to the bar, get yourself some Solace Meds. I know both D-Line and AJ are a big fan. They can get you two cans of Dixie for $30 right now at Solace. So jump on that fantastic deal. And then when you check out online for pickup through them, you get 20% off when you use the DNVR20 code. They got you covered all over Denver, whether it be downtown, Wheat Ridge, Fort Collins. They're covering every square of Denver, basically. You can get what you need from Solace. They have a ton of other deals as well in store, whether it be 20% off Spectra, even 25% off Ripple products, some other 15% off from Silver Shelf and Connoisseur Shelf concentrates as well. So bunch of awesome deals. If you haven't checked them out yet, get on it. Get over there. See the awesome cannabis products you can get at Solace Meds. You can check out online at solacemeds.com. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's get into the defenseman. Ryan Murray's still the one at the top for you, AJ?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he's the most interesting. Is this another one where it's hard to judge the market? Because he was making 4.6 last year.
The real big question with Ryan Murray, who's been attached, another guy who's been attached to the black hole of information that is the Islanders.
Yeah.
Is the health.
Sure.
He had a healthy season. And then
his first in a while.
But it's also like a short season. So it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
It's like, how much do you buy into this given, you know, the reality?
Is that not like a big hurdle for the Avs to cross? Because this isn't a large part of going out and getting another defenseman, a little bit of insurance for EJ, who's the same guy in that regard, gets injured almost every year.
Right, like, it's funny because people have talked about it like, oh, well, EJ can play half of the year and Ryan Murray can play the other half of the year. But it's what's more realistic is that they get hurt. They both end up hurt.
They both play the first half, get hurt, and then the Avs have no bottom pair.
And then they trade for Patrick Nemeth at the deadline, and everybody's like, oh, not again, no. So I, you know, like Ryan, I think Ryan Murray is the most talented guy who also fits the kind of game that they want to play, which I think is an important distinction, because if you just go and get big guys and you get, you know, okay, well, we got a big physical guy that plays PK for us. Great. If he doesn't fit what you do, what you're trying to do,
can he skate? Function in the Avs 5-on-5 systems?
Yeah. Exactly. And we saw with Patrick Nemeth, there's just a major misfit there.
Yep.
And before Patrick Nemeth got there, we saw Ryan Graves had a very up and down year.
Yep.
There were some real peaks and valleys to the Ryan Graves experience last year.
Definitely. It's so Murray's at the top. The only real other relatively young option out there is Connor Carrick.
Yeah, and Connor Carrick's never really proven himself beyond being just a rotation kind of guy, which, like, if that's what they wanted to give him, that's how they wanted to use him, that would be fine. But really, I don't feel like it solves any of their problems. He doesn't really address anything that they need.
Yep.
You know, I'm less worried about youth here, because
you need a third pairing dude. Yeah. You're going to play him 14 minutes a night, PK probably. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a 1-year band-aid. So yep. you're looking, Jason Demers. You're looking, can Eric Branson get that job done? You know, not names that you get excited about. And certainly with a guy like Branson, not a name that anybody who cares about analytics is going to be like.
Not going to like that, yeah.
That's a great idea. because he is, just analytically speaking here, he is horrific. analytically, and you look at every single thing about his on-ice results, and nothing is good.
Yep.
Nothing is good.
It's not pretty.
There isn't. The only thing about Eric Branson is he is big.
I will say, you put him in the Avs system, you put him on a quality team like the Avs, might help those numbers a little bit. I'm not saying he'll be good by any stretch of the imagination, but
can you shelter him? Can you do those things? Nashville tried to do that and it went poorly.
Well, Nashville did it for 9 games, so.
So, yeah, and Nashville, that was enough for them, to be like,
fair enough.
We're good. We're good. So, I think that's the whole Marcus Patterson thing. The Avs are not going to commit that kind of money, even with $1 million retained. They're not going to commit that kind of money for that kind of term. They've got to be careful there, because that chews into potentially another contract for a guy like Bowen Byram.
Yep.
And that's a concern that term you would have to have.
Term is absolutely the enemy of the Avs when it comes to this free agent move, whether it be defense or forward, honestly.
Yeah, what they're trying to do right now, they definitely don't want to overcommit to something.
Yep.
And obviously, like a guy like Marcus Patterson, he's got really good underlying, good shot blocker, he's got good mobility, fits in a lot of things what the Avs do. But it's just that the term is problematic for me. It's not that he's not a good player. I just don't like the...
What happens when you commit to a bottom pairing defenseman for more than 2 years is you get Ryan Graves.
Yeah, I mean, you get, like, it's all good and well when you're Team Canada and you're going to play for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But you end up, you know, in the NHL, this dude has to go and do this every night, and he's like, I'm better than this.
Yep.
You know, then he ends up personally frustrated and or unhappy.
Everyone loses in that situation.
Yeah, knowing that, like, okay, well, his next contract is going to be that more commensurate with the player of his role. And then, like, again, anyway, not the point. Point is that he's a good player. If they made that move tomorrow, I'd be excited because he's a good player. But it's just a situation where you have to be, I'm just saying they have to be careful with the term there. Because you are hopeful that Bowen Byram is not just an impact player for you, but a high impact player for you.
You're committed to that at this point, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not to say don't not make a move because of that. Just that you just have to. I'm just saying you just have to be careful with
the
that.
The Avs don't have the cap flexibility to not commit to that right now.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the cap flexibility to just be handing out deals like right. that. They want to keep some things in mind.
Yep.
As they go, and that's all I'm saying with the Pettersson thing, because if they got Pettersson, their left side would be really, really good. Because you would then have Taves, you could do Girard on either side if you wanted.
Yep.
You could do Byram on either side if you wanted, and then Pettersson. And I just
rounded out by Makar and if healthy EJ.
Yeah, and that would be a really good, like, if your third pairing on opening night was Marcus Pettersson and Bowen Byram, you'd be really, really, really good.
Yep.
Like, really good. And it would be mobile, and Pettersson does a lot of things that the Avs need in terms of, like, the shot blocking, and he would play on the PK for them. And, like, it would be a good fit. I'm just saying that the term would make me – you just have to be careful with it.
Yeah.
If they retained $1 million, great. That makes it easier to swallow. But it's – you just have to be careful is all I'm saying.
A couple of questions from chat here. Have you guys talked about Jordan Gross from Arizona? Is he any good depth-wise? He's an AHL depth guy.
Yeah. He's a guy that you never know, because Colorado's had so much success in the last couple of years with Ryan Graves and Jacob McDonald.
Just YOLOing dudes, yeah.
Yeah, that you're just kind of like,
But I mean,
what's this?
On my personal depth chart, you have Dennis Gilbert ahead of that dude. Yeah, you have... I'd maybe give a shot to Justin Barron before that dude. He has a lot of bodies to climb over if he wants
to
play in the NHL for the Avs.
He's a good puck mover, but he's small.
Yep. And then Colin asks, what is Carolina going to do with their glut of D-men? They have Slavin, Pesci, Skay, Gardner, Bear, Cole, Smith, and now D'Angelo as well.
Well, so Smith is a guy that I think they can... At the end of his career there, he was going back and forth between forward and defense. So he could do that if they need to. Can we bring that comment back up just so I can read that list again?
Yep. Let me find it really quick.
I guess I could just look at their team.
Slavin, Pesci, Shea, Gardner, Bear, Cole.
Okay, well, Gardner kind of worked his way out of the lineup at times last year where it wasn't so great. Bear and Cole... boy, would that be a third pairing? Smith, you can take it out of that list.
And then the hot.
Yeah, guy. and then Tony D, we just don't know.
Yep.
He probably has to take a job somewhere.
Yep.
For $1 million, he probably just has to take a job. So I don't think that they need to do anything right now. I think that they love that depth and that they're just rolling. Unfortunately.
Well, living the dream. There really isn't a ton else out there on the defensive side for UFAs for the Avs. I guess you get Wild and look at like Ben Hutton or Jordy Benn or something like that, but
yeah. And again, like those are cats that, we're talking.
Do you really want them playing every night type of
you
thing?
You need a third pairing guy.
Yeah.
And it's like those guys are still free agents for a reason.
Yep.
They're flawed dudes that need the right. They need to be in the right situation.
Definitely.
Although I do have a friend that loves Jordy Benn for some reason. She would be very excited about it. I don't know what that's all about. I mean, it's weird, but. All these guys have bad analytics. So,
all right, AJ, you can be freed from Twitter jail, but the Avs have to sign Lucas Pisa.
Fine. They don't have to play him. They would, because we know how they roll. But I would get to call him Lucas Pizza all year, so I'm good with that.
All right. There you go.
And then I would ask him, do you mind if I call you Lucas Pizza? And then he'd be like, don't ever talk to me again.
Can we get some free AJs in the chat? AJ, any final thoughts here on this free agency market for the Avs?
I just there's not really a lot left for them to do impact wise. It's the impact player wise.
Sure.
I would like to see them use the money to do something though. They saved $1 million on the Kemper deal. Make it count. You know, don't just be like, oh well, we can use this at the deadline for the guy that they're gonna waste another fifth round pick on who's not any good. Like I would like to see them do something here, whether that's Tatar, a forward, or any of those other cats.
You can sign one of these dudes on a 1 year to just play, right? Get it out there, get it done, use your cap space effectively.
Yep. Yeah, do it. Somebody asked about Bobby Ryan. I'm good with that, man.
That wouldn't
bother me at all. He could definitely be your JT Compher. Did not just have a career worst year. He's just bad now. He's kind of your JT Compher insurance, if that were the case.
Yeah, I liked him last year as a deadline pickup. If they wanted to give him 1 year for a nothing deal, that's fine. Yeah.
Excuse, any other former Red Wings that are out there? I know somebody earlier asked about Evgeny Svechnikov. You want to get the bad Svechnikov brother? Sure, I'm good with that too. You could have a fourth line of former Red Wings. That's definitely what you want to do to slam your window closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course Kessel's asked for a trade. I mean, good luck. The Colorado, there would have to be retention there. And I have no idea what the price would be on
Kessel. I don't see how that's ever a fit, but
Kessel, I mean, on the right side, if Kessel takes the Donskoy job, I'm good with that.
No, I can see how the Avs would like it, but I mean, contractually, I don't see how the Avs ever make it work.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to, half of that would have to get retained.
Even then, it's 3.4, which I guess they could just fit. But you're running McDermott in your defense every night at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to happen anyway.
It might. In any case, we're going to get out of here.
Timo Meier would probably cost you Burakovsky.
That's a whole different stratosphere at that point.
But yeah, and then another player.
Yeah,
and then another first round pick and. That's problematic. You don't want to be 2 years out with no first rounders before you even start the year.
And you have to remember Meyer also his base salary the last year of that deal is the $10 million.
Yep.
See you later.
that means that he would have to be given a $10 million qualifying offer.
Which is not going to happen.
Yep.
So in any case, before we get too down the rabbit hole, we're going to get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, however you consume the pod. We appreciate all of y'all. Be sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. That helps us out a ton. We're in August, and there's still like 200 of you hanging around watching this live. I know some of y'all aren't subscribed yet. So help us out with that. Other than that, we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place, same thing. You know where to find us. Until then, we'll talk to you later.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.